Well, I am Joshua Rivas, and I am the senior pastor here at Christ Center, and I love it, and I love you guys, and I'm so glad we get to be together. And that being said, I worked very, very hard and stayed up late and then got up early to prepare you to watch this video. We're going to start with the video, but it's such a phenomenal video, so I'm just going to let it speak for itself. This is from the Bible Project guys, and it's just perfectly fitting for today, Mother's Day. So we'll start with that, and then I'll bring you the rest of the word.
If you tried to describe what God is like, it could be difficult or daunting. But when the people who wrote the Bible pondered the mystery of God, they consistently described God's character in this way: compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, overflowing with loyal love and faithfulness. The very first word used in this description of God is compassionate, or in Hebrew, rachum. This word also appears as a noun, rachamim, or compassion. And what's fascinating is that both of these words are related to the Hebrew word for womb, rechem. So compassion in the Hebrew Bible is centered on a person's core, and the word invites us to imagine a mother's tender feelings for her vulnerable infant. So rachum is a word that conveys intense emotion. Sometimes it's even translated as deeply moved, like in the story of King Solomon, who meets two women who've just given birth. One of their babies sadly dies, but then both women claim that the baby still living is theirs. As a test, Solomon says to cut the baby in two and give each mother a half. And the baby's real mother is deeply moved. She would rather the other woman take her baby than see her child die. And it's her compassion that reveals that she's the true mother. But rachum isn't just an emotional word. It also involves action. And surprisingly, the word is used most often to describe God's actions motivated by his emotions. Like when the Israelites are suffering and oppressed in Egypt, God hears their cries and is compelled by his compassion, his rachamim, to rescue them. Then, as the Israelites travel through the dangerous wilderness, they're hungry and thirsty, and God is rachum, caring for them as his own child. He provides everything they need, food, water, and clothing, as he personally guides them. So it's no surprise that when Yahweh reveals his character to the Israelites in the wilderness, he begins by saying he's compassionate. But despite Yahweh's continual rachamim, the Israelites turn away from him time and again. They reject Yahweh's compassion and instead give their allegiance to other gods. And rather than showing compassion to each other, they do violence. And their rebellion results in exile, and they're scattered among the nations. And it's in this dark moment in Israel's story that we come to the book of Isaiah, where Yahweh compares himself to a mother full of rachamim toward her baby. He says, "Can a mother forget her nursing child, or have no compassion or rachamim on the child of her womb? Even if she forgets, I will not forget you." God is full of motherly compassion, and he will rescue his people. And as you read further in Isaiah, you realize that God is going to do this by entering into the suffering of humanity. And this points forward to a time when Jesus comes on the scene. He is Yahweh's deep compassion become human. In Greek, the word compassion is oiktirmos. And as Jesus embraces the sick and cares for the outcast, he is deeply moved by human suffering. Jesus compares himself to a mother hen using her wings to shield her chicks from danger as he gathers people into his embrace. And in the ultimate expression of oiktirmos, Jesus is moved by compassion to enter into humanity's suffering, into death itself, to rescue and bring us near to God. And it's this same life of compassion that Jesus calls his followers to imitate, allowing ourselves to be moved by the pain of others, to embrace the hurting, and to participate in relieving suffering in the world. In this way, we too can embody the compassion of Yahweh, or in Jesus' words, be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Now you can see how fitting it is that compassionate is the first word God uses to describe himself. So when we're in pain or see others suffering, we can be certain that God is deeply moved to respond and that He's there to meet us with His deep compassion.
In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, God is speaking amongst Himself, and He says, "Let us make man in our image, male and female." In verse 128, it says, "So God created man in His image, in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female, He created them." We're image bearers of God. We're called to carry the attributes and the character and the reality of who God is. And this includes both masculine and feminine. And this is of vital importance for us to understand because He's created us in His image. And we see, of course, our enemy constantly desiring to defile and deface and mar and pervert the good things that God has already created. And we see that over and over again. One gentleman sharing his testimony and talking about his life said, "Oh, the creative ways that we find to mar the image of God," speaking of the things that He had done to himself in his life. And the enemy of our soul, that's really his desire, is to devalue, to deface, to deconstruct what it is that God has done, because he hates God and he hates us. We remind him of our God. And so this morning, as we're looking at that, I want to point out, first of all, that we are his image bearers, but also I want to talk about here on Mother's Day the parts of God, and we just saw in this video the parts of God that are absolutely exemplified in mothers, that the mother heart of God is an important part of his character and who he is. And so let me just share Ephesians 6:2. It says this, "Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on this earth. If I only honor my father, but I don't honor my mother, I'm certainly not fulfilling that commandment. If I honor my mother, but I don't honor my father, I'm certainly not fulfilling that commandment." And in a very real sense, if I am not able to honor and understand and love my mother and father, my earthly mother and father, to that degree, that can actually create distance between me and my God, because my mother and my father are made in his image, male and female. And if I'm able to honor the male part of my parents, but not the female, or if I value the male part, but not the female, then where I do is I actually find myself having less value for the attributes of God that are shown in half of the image of God. Are you with me? Now, where this kind of breaks down for us sometimes is because, I don't know if you guys know this, but we're created. Is that true? And so when we think about a creator, it's hard for our created brain to wrap itself around the idea of an uncreated God, a God that has always been. So there are certain limitations when we look at this and we go, I don't really even know how to imagine how this works. I believe John chapter 4, verse 21 through 26 gives us a great clue, though, on how we can begin to understand some of this. And it's when Jesus is talking in John to the Samaritan woman at the well. And having spoken prophetic words to her, some words of knowledge, and she realizes, like, ooh, this dude's a prophet, she asks him, Where are we going to worship? Are we going to worship on this mountain? The Jews say we're supposed to worship here, or supposed to worship in Jerusalem, but we're thinking it's on this mountain. What do you think? And Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews." And listen to this. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they're the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in the truth." Guys, we have to understand who God is and worship him as he is, not as we think he should be, maybe not even as we currently know him. He certainly is all the good things that you know him as, but could it be that he's much more than that? Could it be that there's a part of us where we say, "Lord, I have experienced you this way, but I have not experienced you this way. And so therefore, I don't think you're like this. Is it possible that we're missing out on aspects of who God is? We're worshiping him not in spirit and in truth, but in our own experience thus far. And I want to invite you today to embrace the fact, to embrace that we're to worship him in spirit and truth. I also want to invite you to, as you open your imagination up, to seeing God as he is, maybe not as you currently see him. If the scripture says he is spirit. We are made male and female in God's image. We represent the attributes of his character and his personhood in our male and female selves. Who we are and how we are as men and women, as mothers and fathers, is a representation of how he is. But he is spirit, and we are created. He is God, and we are human. So we represent him in how he created us, but how we are is not determined how he is. Are you with me? How he is determines how we are. And he's chosen to share that character in our gender. He's chosen to show his character in part through our gender, through gender itself. And he said, your mother, all those great things about your mother, I'm just like that. All those great things about your father, I'm just like that. For you guys, that's boy and girl. For me, I'm God. All of that came from me. Are you with me? I would say it like this. God is God. What gender is he? God. Are you God? No. There's one God, right? Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. What gender is he? God. He's one. He's the creator. We're created in his image to carry that. Are you with me? So let's not get in the weeds here and say, oh, is God a boy or is he a girl? You would say, he's God. Has he chosen to reveal who he is as the Father? Absolutely, that's in the scripture. So we call him Father. But he also has said that we're made in his image, male and female. Well, does that mean God is a girl? Well, he hasn't said that. But does that mean he doesn't have a feminine part of who he is? Well, it does actually say that because we're made in his image, male and female. Are you with me? So let's not get into this idea of trying to get sidetracked on gendering God, but rather let's receive it as he has, that he is the Lord, he is the creator, he is the Father, but we're made in his image, male and female. And those attributes we receive from him directly. Are you with me? So, and he is spirit. We are part spirit. He is all spirit. Are you with me? So just allow the Lord to give you the ability to worship him in spirit and in truth. And let him teach us how to live like him and love like him. Can we do that? And so with that as the foundation here, I want to offer you some scriptures here. As on Mother's Day, we are looking at, could it be that we have ignored many of the attributes of what God is like as the mother heart of God while only concentrating on the father heart of God? Are you with me? I keep saying that. Are you with me? I say it a lot and I'm working on that. Yeah, you guys should count and then start holding up your hands how many I'm at so I can learn that there are other words I could use, like silence or praise God or really anything. But perhaps I digress. So we receive from God blessings, thank you, Wayne, and help in different ways. And when we have no expectations or awareness of the truth of what God is like, we can actually fail to receive that aspect of what he's like in places that we need. Today we sang, God, I need you. Oh my God, I need you. I need you now. Well, if I don't believe that that need is going to be met in God, then I'm going to look elsewhere to have that need met. So there's all these attributes that God has given, and I'm curious, I want us to look at them together and see if perhaps we have been unaware of things we could receive from God because we didn't even know that that was what he's like. And so the scripture, Isaiah 49, you just heard, I love it. I'm gonna read it again. Can a mother forget her nursing child that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, but yet I will not forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Jesus fulfilled that. His hands were pierced for us. God is saying, I am like a mother who will have compassion on her child. Even if your human mother, whom you know loves you, were to forget you, which, can you even imagine that, right? But I will never forget you, says the Lord. I'm like that. I'm like that. I love Isaiah 66:13. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted. He's speaking to Israel. I will comfort you, speaking to us. I will comfort you. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. I'm like that. That's what I'm like. Your mother, that's what I'm like. To all the degree that she's done this well, that's what I'm like. If she dropped the ball, I'm nothing like that. I'm even better than that. If she forgot you, I didn't. Are you with me? No! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Teach me, Jesus. Psalm 139, 13 through 16. For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes, wrought, that's an old-fashioned word which means formed, created, okay, not rotting for the young people out there. Skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. You picture the Spirit of God, right? It says in the beginning, the Spirit of God was brooding over the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. It's like the womb of God, brooding. That word brooding is that same word of like a hen broods over her eggs to hatch them, brooding. It's this creative word. And God himself, the Spirit of God, was brooding over the face of the deep. And we know the Spirit that God spoke and the Holy Spirit brought about all that we see. And here we have the psalmist saying, God, you knew me when you were forming me in the womb. You knew me. My days before they were even there, you were already brooding and dreaming over me. You already were creating and speaking and dreaming about what I would do with you. You knew them before I was even born. This is what your God is like. He forms you in hidden places. Psalm, I do want to say this. He's the God who takes time to form us in hidden places. You don't have to be great. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't even have to draw your own breath yet. He's the God that forms you in the womb before you can even breathe. He has made a way for you to live before you could even draw a breath. He forms us in the hidden place and loves us even then, dreaming dreams over us. God's like that. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. He's a nurturing God. He stays close. 2 Corinthians, Psalm 56:8. You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle, and you've recorded each one in your book. He's a rememberer. He's not a forgetter. He's a rememberer. He remembers what's going on in your life. Like you think about the comfort that a mother brings, right? It's like, you know, you fall down, and if dad's there, talking about your earthly dad, right? And he picks up, he's like, I'll rub some dirt on it, right? But sometimes you don't need dirt rubbed on it. Sometimes You need a mother who's going to grab you and say, oh, baby, are you all right? Let's actually wash the dirt out of that. And actually, that one's going to need some stitches. I got this one, Dad. Mama's got this one. All right? He remembers the tears that we cry. He remembers the times that it didn't go well. He doesn't say, oh, you'll be fine. He says, you will be fine, but I'll be with you. Let's go get stitches together. Okay? God's like that. There's a time. There is a time to rub some dirt on it. But there's also a time to wash the dirt out and get the stitches. God's like that. He's a comforter. Proverbs 6, 20 through 22. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they'll watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. Forsake not your mother's teaching. God's a teacher. I love Proverbs 31, speaking of how God has made woman in his image. And here's the Proverbs 31, the example of a righteous woman carrying the image of God. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. I love that phrase. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. There's a time for war, but there's a time for peace. There's a time for rebuke, but there's a time for kindness. And God is like that. She looks well to the ways of her household. She does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. We prayed that over the moms today. But Carly wrote those prayers for us to pray. And I love that. She was quoting Proverbs. Your children rise up and call her blessed. Why? The righteousness of God is shown in the mothers. The righteousness of God, the kindness of God, the comfort of God, the strength of God, the dignity of God. He's a teacher. You think about some of those teachers in your life that just open things up to you in a way that is just extraordinary. God is like that, finds a different way. Like, okay, this person learns this way, but she speaks with kindness and goes, oh, I notice you learn this way. God is like that. So we have, and this is obviously not an exhaustive list, but what I would like for each of us today to receive from the Lord is a greater understanding and appreciation that God is like that. That the mother heart comes from the mother heart of God. The part of God that mothers were made in the image of. That's him. That's God. And to the degree that you and I have not been able to receive that directly from the Lord, because we probably have in our limited way, I would dare say all of us do this, because until this gets healed, we only are able to know what we know so far. How many of you know that you only know what you know so far? How many are confused by the sentence that I just said? You only know what you know so far. If you learn something new, now you know something new. Now you can access that. Now you can seek that out. And for many of us, we didn't know that we could access these things from the Lord himself, from our God. That he's not just the God that says, I'll rub some dirt on it, you'll be fine, be righteous, let's do this thing, we're taking the city. That's important when that's the part of him that you're relating with, because he is like that. But there's another part where God is taking the time to form you in hidden places. He's like that, the compassion. He's like that, the kindness, the patient teacher, the one that can heal. The one that is close. God is also like that. And if you and I didn't know we could access it, we wouldn't even seek that from God. And we certainly wouldn't reflect it, because I can't give away what I don't have. So this morning, right now, what I want to do is I want to make some room. We're just going to take a moment here, and I want you to just make some room. Could you put up prayer number one? And we're just going to go vertical, straight to God. And in light of this idea that the mother heart came from the heart of God, that it's a part of his image, I want you to ask him, is there something about your mother heart that you would like to show me? So just ask him, whether it's out loud or in your spirit, and then just close your eyes. We're just going to take a minute and let God speak. Now, to the extent that maybe our moms were actually the person that did a lot of damage in our lives, and maybe there wasn't very much on this list that was demonstrated to you by your earthly mom, I want to encourage you that the things, because everybody's mama did at least one thing right. At the very core, your mother formed you in her womb, and her entire body served to give you life, and she brought you into this world. You did not create yourself. She and your father created you, and she carried you to fruition and brought you into this world, and you have life because her body gave you life. And so at very least, you can honor your mother and say, you gave me life. You may not have known what to do after that, but you gave me life. And many of our mothers exuded and showed and continue to show incredible things about the one whose image they bear, God. And everything that they do right, you can say, God, I thank you that for everything that my mom did right, you're just like that. But you also can walk through and let the Spirit of God continue to work this after this time together. As things come up and you realize, like, oh my goodness, this was actually a really hard place for my mom and I, then you can also say, okay, Lord, I thank you that in these places where my mother failed, my earthly mother did fail, and we all fail, I forgive her, and I thank you that you're nothing like that. But I need you to show me how to receive those things that I didn't get from my mother, from you. Are you able to receive that? And this is an important part of your healing, is to make that exchange with the Lord. You're exchanging a lie that you've believed, a way that you have perceived and interacted with God that is not true about who he is. And you're exchanging it for the truth of what God is like. God has a perfect mother's heart as well as a perfect father's heart, as we are made in his image. So do that. Allow the Spirit of God to walk you through that work, but I encourage you to out loud make those, in your time and space, make those exchanges that you would be able to begin to receive from God more of those things that you didn't even know to expect to receive, because you haven't received them yet. Will you consider those things? Okay. We're going to do a prayer now, in light of these things that we've seen. I want us to do, we're going to take just 2 minutes. I want you to get with one other person or two other people. We won't go more than like three, so you can just grab the people around you or if there's somebody near you. And we're going to do this. I want us now to pray over our community. Can you bring up that second prayer? Pray for these attributes that are found in God to be given in areas and situations of our community that need it. You look around at our community, and there are certain things in our culture, to the degree that we have overemphasized the male part of humanity, and it's missing influence, right? Like, how many of you guys, right, when the ladies go on ladies' retreat and the kids come in, we see a very quick impact of what it's like when moms are not having influence in the family, right? Bubble gum in the hair, strange hairstyles, shirts that are inside out. The children are just kind of jacked up and bedraggled a little bit. It's just funny. Yeah, that's one weekend. We have areas in our community where we have inherited a lack of honoring and receiving the female attributes of God's character that we need in our community. And these are not, I'm not going to do any disclaimers right now. Come talk to me. Receive this in the best way possible, okay? These are attributes, though, that we see that are shown that can be lacking because we're not valuing that part of God, and if we're not valuing that part of God in himself, we're not going to value it in that people who actually carry that image. In other words, we've devalued the influence of women for a long time. It's part of the scheme of the enemy, and we need to see that released. So let's pray these things that we find in God, that they'd be released in our community. In other words, these mother heart attributes, if you will. And by the way, guys, it's not that we don't carry these. It's that until we value them, we won't carry these. And these are many things that we can receive. So this is for everybody. We're all to have Christ formed in us, the fullness of God. Are you with me? Oh, I did it again. Okay, get with two or three other people. And I want us to pray. Just pray. Think of specific situations. Lord, this place needs your comfort. This thing needs your nurture. This thing needs dignity restored. We need to understand the value of people carrying the image of God as he created them in this area. Are you with? That's how we're going to do that. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting healed. All right, go for it. Let's do it. You guys understand the assignment? Well, it seemed right on Mother's Day to have one of the mothers of this house, our executive pastor, Janelle, come and now pray a mother's blessing over this family. So, Pastor Janelle, would you wrap us up with a blessing? I love it. George has got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Joshua. Let's pray. Christ Center, I bless you today with a deeper revelation of knowing God as he is, both the male and female, masculine and feminine aspects. I bless you with a hunger to discover new things about his character. Parents, I bless you to know how to guide the children God has trusted you with to Jesus. I bless you with humility in raising them and the ability to be quick to ask forgiveness and quick to forgive. I bless you, parents, to remember the season you're in of diapers, siblings arguing, teenagers is not going to last forever. It is not going to last forever. This will pass. This is not the end of their story. I bless all of us, all of you, and your relationships to have Jesus at the center and to know how to reflect him in each of those relationships. Bless you to use God's wisdom in your relationships. And I bless you to be a light in our community. I bless you to receive and to give comfort. I bless you to receive and give compassion. I bless you to be nurturing and to receive his nurturing. I bless you to know how deep down how you are made in the image of God. I bless you with his wisdom and in turn to use his wisdom. I bless you to receive kindness and to also be kind. I bless you with strength, to receive God's strength, to know how truly strong you are in his image. I bless you with dignity, those things about you that maybe are shameful. We just break that off in Jesus' name. I bless you in those places that are hurting today to receive God's comfort, to receive a new perspective about what this day holds, about what he thinks about you, to receive healing in those places of pain. Today, I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus. I bless you. the name of the Father, the name of his Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, God. All right, that's the end of our service today. We want to make sure you take advantage of this adorable photo booth. Dads, get the kids, get over there because mom wants it. Bless. And prayer servant team is also coming. If there's any way that we can support you in prayer today, now's the time.